This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
What's trending?
What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. While the Royals avoided the sweep of the Reds, they got it done last night. Noah Cameron, once again, was phenomenal. We're going to talk more about him and the good problem that they have with how well he is pitching and what they could do and some of the decisions they have to make. But the Royals, boy, oh boy, they needed that one. Off day today before the huge series against the Detroit Tigers this weekend. Felt like you needed this to kind of just stabilize things again.
Once again, taking down aces, you know?
Yeah, they are 30-27 on the season. They are essentially, win percentage-wise, just off the pace of the Guardians and Twins. They're basically a win away from moving in the second place in the division, just like that. Obviously, the Tigers are 7 games up on them, so you know, if you can win a series against the Tigers, you have a completely different feeling come Monday morning.
Yeah, I would say, taking 2 out of 3 against the Tigers this weekend at home,
they're beating everybody,
feel,
man.
But they're...
It's crazy.
They're the best team in baseball.
Yeah.
So taking 2 out of 3 against them would feel very good. Really, really good. Lugo is expected, right, to make his start this weekend?
The thought is he will be back, yeah.
He's currently listed as the plausible starter, I think, on Saturday. Next up on Watch Training, the Royals did send out a press release yesterday regarding their stadium stuff. We'll get back into it a little bit later in the show. Essentially admitted that they had purchased through an affiliate the Asperia campus over there in Overland Park at 119th.
The mortgage.
The mortgage on it over there in Overland Park. So we'll see kind of what that looks like, at least on that. And they also said they've made investments on the Missouri and the Kansas side in future stadium stuff. Mostly just getting it out there that they're still looking at both sides of the state line and that they've made no firm decision on where they're going to go. Citing that it takes a long time to decide this. We all know that on Monday, Missouri legislature will be a part of a special session discussing how to fund Chiefs and Royals stuff in the future.
Yeah, it feels a lot like just some leverage there. Just reminding those that are about to discuss it in Jefferson City that, hey, we're serious about this whole thing on the Kansas side. All right, elsewhere on What's Trending, the NCAA is considering expanding the men's basketball tournament to 72 teams as soon as 2026. So as soon as this coming year's NCAA tournament. Coaches are on board with this. We talked about the reasons why they would be. More job security. They can say they made an NCAA tournament. Helps them overall with even potentially contract incentives. Overall, not a huge fan of the idea to expand it, but I recognize it's probably going to happen. And it's been discussed now for a couple of years. I just don't like it because
to me, conferences on board,
it's not going to allow the more Cinderellas or mid-majors in. And that's what I want in the early rounds. Now, I told you, I loved what we had in this Final Four this year, where we had the top dogs and it created some great games. But in general, I think we're going to end up with, you know, the 12th best team in the Big 12 or the 12th best team in the SEC getting in, not the second best team in...
Not Indiana State from a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I think the more teams you add, the more likely that is, but still not likely enough. Next up on What's Trending, the Thunder crushed the Timberwolves last night. They advanced to the NBA Finals. SGA named Western Conference Finals MVP. Knicks and Pacers, Game 5 tonight. Pacers have a chance to close it out. Cat is expected to be a limited player maybe tonight after that knee contusion, so we'll see exactly how that goes. He's been a big-time player in this series, but the Knicks on the verge of elimination.
Lastly for you, the College Football Hall of Fame has announced they have tweaked a little bit of their criteria to potentially allow Mike Leach, of course, the late Mike Leach, into the College Football Hall of Fame. The issue was that he was underneath the 60% winning percentage threshold.
He was one win short of it.
And one win short. And so they announced today that they have revised the minimum career winning percentage from 600 to 59%, 595, right? So 59% win percentage to get it done, which would open the door for him to be inducted beginning in 2027. He's going to get in now.
Yeah, I would think so. Be kind of surprising.
He was like, he was going to be the, like, one of the biggest, you know, snubs, if you will, of the College Football Hall of Fame. But they tweaked it, and they weren't egregious with it. They didn't lower it down to 55% or something.
But it is kind of funny to lower it just so you can get one person in, you know? Yeah. Like, you're doing that just for one person.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's definitely because of Mike Leach, no doubt. There's no denying that.
But, you know, good for Mike Leach. He was a lot of fun. Honestly, a lot of stuff when I think of Hall of Fames are just people you remember in the sport. And more than even guys who probably won more than him, I'm going to remember Mike Leach more as a part of college
football. The way offenses are run now is partially because of him.
Yeah.
You know?
He had a big impact on the game. There's no doubt about it. So good for him, I guess. Yeah, he will get in one way or the other.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll talk with J.J. Cooper of Baseball America. We'll talk CAGs with him, and we'll also talk about Noah Cameron, who we will discuss right now, because Noah Cameron is technically the fifth-rated prospect in the Royals organization, and he continues to deal, and he made history last night. He is just the second pitcher since 1893 with 6 1/3 or more innings pitched, one run or less in his first four big league starts. That came from Elias Sports Bureau. So he continues to be just an unbelievable story. And last night, even in a situation where I don't think overall, if you talk about his stuff or just how well he pitched, wasn't his best outing, but he still was able to be that effective, that dominant at times. And he is now in an interesting spot. And I think the Royals are now in an interesting spot because production-wise, he, of course, should not be sent back down to AAA.
That's crazy. He's pitched four gems.
But Seth Lugo's coming back from IL this weekend. Cole Reagans maybe has to do a rehab start. We'll see, but he's on his way back. You know Chris Bubich is doing. Michael Lorenzen had pitched very well. He's had a couple bad outings recently, but overall, Michael Lorenzen's been really, really good for you. So what do you do here? And, you know, as much as I know it sounds crazy, like, how can you? He's pitched so well, you can't send him down. I think you got to have room for a guy. So it's either your solution, either moving Michael Lorenzen to the bullpen, or Noah Cameron goes back down until there's another opportunity, and he's an unbelievable insurance policy for you to have for this year, and obviously makes you feel good about the pitching development and him moving into 2026.
It just depends on whether or not you're willing to do something radical in the middle of a year in which you're doing something well. The common move, I think the logical, everyday, or a normal functioning baseball organization move is you send Noah Cameron down, you let Michael Lorenzen make a few more starts. If he stumbles, it's Noah Cameron's job moving forward. Michael Lorenzen goes to the bullpen, and you handle this like normal pros. No other thing needs to be said. You're going to start Lugo. You're going to start Waka. You're going to start Reagans, and you're going to start Bubich. So it's really just down to those two guys. The radical move is what reportedly 2 days ago, the Mariners were at least internally kicking around, which is the six-man rotation. Is that a good idea? It's radical. In a lot of ways, I'd rather go into a year operating that way than in the middle of the season. We have too many good arms. Why don't we see what we can do?
Dodgers have done that only because they had a ton of injuries. The Dodgers have a ridiculous amount of pitchers on the IL right now, so they've kind of operated in that fashion.
Yeah, but that's not like they're not operating under a six-man rotation. This is a completely different problem. This is let's do it. Look, the Mariners are kicking it around, but they've also openly pretty much admitted that it's unlikely as well because it changes everything about how your pitchers are used to working. They do the same. I'm not kidding. They do the same thing every day. they pitch. And then the day after they pitch, they ice. And then the day after that, they throw a live for 15 pitches. And then the day after, they do these certain stretches and get their arm bands out. Whatever it is, they have a designated, predetermined, completely designed routine around pitching every 5 days. So if you were ever going to consider that, I think it'd have to be by unanimous vote, Survivor style. I don't care if it's like secret ballot into a coconut or whatever the hell, bowl. What do they do on Survivor? Never seen that show. What do they put the votes into?
The ballot
like
box?
Like a bowl? Ballot box? Oh, it's just like a regular ballot box?
No, it's not. I don't know what they call it on the show.
I said coconut. That was a little egregious.
Yeah, it's I don't know, you know, bamboo thing. I don't know.
Because that's outside the box thinking. The only two normal baseball things are that or trade somebody. But we just talked about this with Jack Caglione and other needs in the offense. You can say, okay, you know what we're actually going to do to get Noah Cameron in today? We're going to trade Lugo. No, you're not. Noah Cameron's going to go to the minors for a month.
It's too early. Yeah.
And then you can look at that. Or Noah Cameron's going to go to minors for a month, and then you can talk about Lorenzen. Or then you can, like, you can't do anything now other than send Noah Cameron down, put Michael Lorenzen in the bullpen, or do a six-man rotation.
Yeah, I think the trade stuff is simpler if this was June 29th right now, but it's May 29th. And so, you know, some of this will get sorted out later on in June and July if you're willing to trade one of these pitchers. I also think Michael Lorenzen's performance could dictate this. Does he bounce back after a bad outing or so and look like he did earlier, which was great for a fifth starter? Or is he struggling? You feel like, okay, well, we're going to move him to the bullpen. He'll be a big asset for us in the bullpen. Still gives us flexibility to trade him. And then Noah Cameron can be our fifth starter moving forward. But most
you
likely
can definitely
also,
slow Cole Reagans down if you want.
He might need a rehab start anyway. So they may not have to make this decision for another week, too. I know he's on the track, but maybe they say, hey, you've had this groin injury at Cole Reagans twice already this year. Let's be very careful. We've got a long season, all that. That could be part of it that buys him some time till things sort out. And there's the reality that over the next 2 months, even all five guys in the rotation are probably not staying healthy. They were so lucky last year with that. We've already seen Lugo and Reagans.
Yeah.
So there's a good chance that some of this sorts itself out. And is by no fault of his own, because his production has been great, Noah Cameron, yeah, I mean, right this second, if I had a guess, I would assume that he will go back down to AAA when Reagans and Lugo are both available again in the rotation.
I just like, just aside from, it's a very difficult decision for how to handle Noah Cameron because they're kind of put in a tough spot. How incredible has he been?
Great story.
Seth Lugo and Cole Reagans got hurt at identical times. They've gone 5-5 during that stretch, which I, by the way, would have considered a win after you lost your number one and number two starters for a 2 week time period. I would have taken 5-5. Noah Cameron steps in with a 1.05 ERA, 25 2/3. He's gone 6 1/3, 6 1/3, 6 1/3, and 6 2/3, I think, in the four starts, maybe it's 6 2/3 twice. He's allowing almost no hits at all. He's keeping the walks down-ish. And yeah, the strikeouts, those probably aren't coming in waves at any particular point, but who cares? Someone's like, he just looks like Chris Bubich again.
Yeah.
Like, they figured out the lefty, let's get some outs part of the situation, because those two guys together right now have been dangerous. It's been incredible watching Noah Cameron. This is another one of those, like, talk about feeling better about the pitching development. This is the thing I watched, like, teams like the Twins in the 90s and the early 2000s when I watched baseball. I'd be like, who's this guy? Come up here and carve people up for a couple of months. You'd be like, I've never even heard of this person. That wasn't even their top-ranked prospect, and somehow he's just coming up and dicing people up. And you know, like, so, like, for them to be able to, like, bring up Noah Cameron and have that kind of success, it says a lot about the organization and him.
913-586-7965. That's the Jays Southland Tow Service text line. Someone said, hey, could Noah Cameron earn the Royals a comp pick? This should be considered. I assume, are
if
you
finishes out, top three in rookie of the year?
Yeah, and look, he would have to seriously keep this up. Right now, Jacob Wilson is now -340.
He hit another homer. He's really good.
And you can't even bet on Noah Cameron on FanDuel right now. Like, they don't list him. Like, he's not even bettable. There are, I can name you a bunch of guys that are not even in the big leagues yet that are still, like, Jack Caglione is now 35-1. He was 40-1 like 2 days ago.
He hasn't even gotten to the big leagues yet. They think he's going to get there sooner.
Christian Campbell, one of the top prospects for the Red Sox, 35-1.
I don't even see him on any of the lists. Yeah.
Nick Kurtz of the A's, who's already up 35. Jackson Jobe, who's already up with the Tigers, 55-1. Point being is, like,
if he made three more starts like this and had this kind of ERA, he would be on the board.
Oh, for sure. What's weird, Cody, he was on the board a week ago. I don't know why he's not on the board right now for FanDuel. It's really, he was on the board a week ago.
What was he, like 100-1, 200-1?
Yeah, he was in the same category as some of these names that are not even in the big leagues yet as well. So I don't know, man. I don't think that's something you have to worry about. As great as he's pitching, he's not going to win Rookie of the Year. Name recognition, he's not going to. And it doesn't have the issue even for Jack Caglione. We said the Rookie of the Year thing shouldn't be much of the consideration anymore, because unless you're calling him up this weekend or next week, Caglione's going to be too far behind Jacob Wilson to win Rookie of the Year. Jacob Wilson is doing ridiculous things.
He's already played 53 games.
And he's minus 340 already to win the award.
It's a little bit like betting, like we talked about this, that AL MVP is already over. Aaron Judge is like minus 10,000 or something to win AL.
It's insane. Minus 8,000. Okay,
so it's not
now.
So it's not that bad for Jacob Wilson. But I'll be honest, if you're betting on somebody not named Jacob Wilson to win American League Rookie of the Year, you are banking on the fact that he will be unable to complete his season.
Yeah, he's got
to
get hurt.
Like, that's it. That's all you're banking on. He's played 53 games. He's hitting .353 with a near .400 on base percentage. Like, good luck. Yeah. Passing those numbers. Even if he goes ice cold, dude, he's still going to hit .300.
Yeah, whether you're talking about Cags or any other rookie that eventually gets called up or is already in the big leagues and play, they could all play great. Jacob Wilson's got a hell of a head start on you. That's the problem. And then you just run into sheer number of games, which is why yesterday when we were talking about Cags, and yes, you would love to finish top three, because I think even third gets you an international pick, if I'm not mistaken. That maybe, I guess, could be in play. But winning Rookie of the Year, unless you get called up like now, you just aren't going to have enough games to play catch up, and barring an injury to, as you said, Jacob Wilson, who continues to be a stud there for the A's. And I also think this is not something voters will weigh, I guess, as much, but doesn't hurt the ballpark Jacob Wilson is playing in. He's literally playing in a minor league ballpark for his home games, because the A's are a joke of a franchise.
Do they have like official confirmation of their stadium there?
Well, they're still trying to get it figured out in Vegas as well. Everybody's trying to get stadium.
I thought they blew
up
the Tropicana for that.
Well, the Tropicana definitely is gone.
They blew that up, right?
That is gone. Yep. That hotel does not exist anymore.
Okay. I thought that's where they were going to go. And then people didn't want it there. And I don't know. Everybody, you're right. If you think the Royals are alone, just search any city that is currently going through. You know how many times Chicago's announced like 8 different plans for whatever the hell they want to do? Like 5 years ago, that was the time to get a stadium built. Today, it's way harder. Also, I want the Royals to have a hitter-friendly park. That's what I want.
Yeah.
I don't want Kauffman dimensions anymore.
Well, I agree.
I don't want Reds dimensions or Yankees dimensions. Sure.
You just
I want neutral.
You know, yeah.
Ballpark
normal.
Neutral.
Like just completely normal average.
Yeah, average. Totally normal.
From a dimension standpoint. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't, you know.
Yeah. Did you see the other news real quick, though, because we're talking about Cags there for a second? We're going to talk to J.J. Cooper from Baseball America here in about 10 minutes or so.
Can I ask about David Shields, a player that all of a sudden I'm incredibly intrigued by, even though
he's
18
years old? Noah Cameron
as
well. I was just going to say, I saw Rich Hill got reassigned from Arizona.
Oh, AAA?
To AAA. I think
they desperately
when I checked the projections for Friday and Saturday, Dusty and I are going up to Omaha to watch Cags. I think there's a chance that Rich Hill, a.k.a. Dick Mountain, that is his nickname. That is his real nickname. That he might pitch on Friday, so we could have Cags and a little Rich Hill action.
What a trip for you!
Yeah,
you might get both, huh? A weekend up in Omaha.
And we were. I'm not going to do this because my past history is not great in this area. But on Twitter yesterday, I tweeted that we were going to Omaha.
Yeah.
And the Storm Chasers responded back and said, "Oh, are you coming to Warner Park this weekend?" I said, "Yeah, Friday and Saturday." They go, "Well, your arm's good to go." They then DM'd us and they offered Dusty and I the opportunity to both throw out the first pitch Saturday.
So you're throwing the first pitch?
I am not.
Why? You coward.
Dusty,
come
sure,
on,
that's
dude.
Fine. I mean, look, peer
you
pressure doesn't get to me. Yeah, we're long past the peer
you
pressure
could throw
thing
the ball,
getting to me.
You could practice for a whole, you can practice all night.
Yeah, at least this time I would have a head start. No, I said, look, I would, if they would let me, just Dusty and I do what like Rob and C-Dot did, where one of them, is throwing the baseball, one is catching. And they have a mascot that does that already. And then I said, well, I can be the mascot. They said, no, that's not allowed. So Dusty's going to throw out the first pitch Saturday in Omaha. And for everybody's sake, hopefully Cags is not catching. Okay.
Don't you want to have, like most people, a redemption arc?
I don't need that.
The only first pitch on record for you
is in Boise, Idaho at a Rockies. They're not affiliated anymore. Boise Hawks game, which was the Rockies like rookie team or A-ball. I don't remember which one it was. And they're like guys like Chris Bryant have come through their organization in the past and stuff. But anyway, and I found out 10 minutes before and I had been drinking and it was a surprise because I was leaving Boise. Like,
now this would be different.
I know I would have time. I haven't thrown a baseball since that first pitch.
But you could
and that was in 2017.
Really? You and Drew could go out with a glove.
I don't just go throw the baseball to myself, Drew, in my apartment. Where am I going to go throw?
You can go to a park. Well, but, yeah, I mean,
like, where am I going to, you know, I mean, you have kids,
I would have brought a glove today if you wanted to get some. I'll bring a glove tomorrow. We can get some tosses in before the game.
I would need some practice. I already said no, though. But we were both offered, and it'll be interesting. I'll get some video of Dusty. But no, the video of me throwing the first pitch lives on social media forever. I don't need another one of those.
But what if it goes good? Then you can be like,
the video quality was good, but it's even better now. I don't need a real crystal clear 4K version of the first pitch. Wow. And by the way, my first pitch, I will say, not great. Not 50 Cent bad, though. Let me be very clear. It wasn't great. And the worst part of the first pitch in Boise was there was two of us throwing out the first pitch. There was some lady was before me to throw it out, and she brought her glove, and she fired that thing right down the middle.
Whipped
perfect.
It, huh?
And I knew I was screwed in that moment.
That's not a good feeling.
I was completely screwed. Yeah,
a lot of pressure on once they fired
so,
it.
So, yeah.
I've never thrown out a first pitch.
I think this will be Dusty's second one in the last calendar year. You threw one out at Kaufman, didn't he, last year?
Yeah, I did one for a fan day at the K last year.
So, that'll be Saturday. I'll make sure we get
video
of it.
I've never been asked. I've been barred, maybe, even. Hard to say. Maybe due to my lack of hot dog.
0-4 hot dog derbies.
I've raced hot dog again.
Yeah, Cody, I do it, you get one chance to do something like this. You know, I did one hot dog derby, I won.
Life is about second chances, third chances, sometimes fifth or sixth chances.
I did one hot dog derby and I won. I'm never doing it again. I did one potato race in Boise at their minor league game. I won. I'm never doing it again. One first pitch, I'm done. You get one shot at these kind of things. Let other people do it, you know?
I view life as a series of opportunities and a chance to do
it. Someone says, good Lord, Gold, I'm 61 and I can throw a first pitch. Oh, it is that I just haven't thrown a baseball. And so if I just went in there,
so I'd probably be pretty rusty. I would get some reps in if you were going to do it.
I guarantee you, and maybe you won't admit it. I guarantee you Dusty has been practicing ever
Why
since we found out last night.
I would.
I bet you
if
he's been practicing.
If I knew it was on the first pitch, I'm going to make some tosses.
I bet you he's been practicing since last night.
Even if you go to the park all by yourself and you're just throwing up against a fence, just pick a Royce, target and just throw.
Put me in a hot dog derby.
Oh, gosh.
You're listening. Put me in a hot dog derby. And if I win, I'd like the honor to throw out one first pitch. But only if I win. I only earn that honor by actually finally winning a hot dog derby race. They do them every night. They got plenty of hot dog derby races. Certainly I can get in one.
You would think.
Someone says, Dusty's going to be mad at you, Gold. He's going to announce this tomorrow on his show. Well, okay. I mean, we both got the message. Sorry.
I just assumed he already.
I assume he already mentioned it. Different audience, you know? Some of you are the same. Different audience. He can still make his announcement.
Anybody going to boo Dusty like he was booing people at karaoke?
No, I got booed
after.
See
how it feels.
I got booed after my first pitch.
That first pitch? Of course.
A bunch of friends were there, so they were all getting the people that were recording me throwing out the first pitch. So, yeah, there's definitely boos in the background.
That's tough. That's tough. You had a chance at redemption. That's all.
Someone says Drew believes he's a tour golfer. Gold can't throw a first pitch. The dichotomy there is unbelievable. Yeah, fair enough. All right, let's talk to someone that definitely knows some analyzation of baseball and what to look for.
Should have had him break down your first pitch before he came on.
JJ Cooper from Baseball America is going to join us to talk Cags, Noah Cameron, and a little bit about the Royals minor league.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Big system next. All right, back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get to the random question of the day here in about 12 minutes or so, but we want to keep talking about the Royals, but taking a look at the farm system a little bit, and obviously the name that everybody continues to talk about really on a daily basis now until he gets called up, whether that's in a week or two or it's going to be 2 months from now, whatever it is, Jack Caglione, of course. And to talk more about him, we welcome in J.J. Cooper, the editor-in-chief over at Baseball America. They've been covering baseball for well over 40 years. And J.J., we appreciate you coming on the show. Jack Caglione, I mean, truly, he is now a daily conversation here in Kansas City. How close do you think we are, for starters, to seeing him get to the big leagues?
I would say it feels pretty close now, right? He's in AAA, and more importantly, he's doing everything he's doing, especially offensively, to where I want to credit, it wasn't me, it was someone else on our staff. Mark Fiorelli was talking to a scout who doesn't work for the Royals a couple of weeks ago. And that scout's prediction was, he said, you know, I'm not going to tell you that Jack Caglione may not struggle in the big leagues, but this scout's belief was, he said, but I don't think he's going to struggle until he reaches the big leagues. With that being the case, there's probably not that much, at least offensively, that AAA can teach him, right? He's going to succeed in AAA. He's going to mash. He's going to hit for power. The few, like, things that are kind of the to-do items, the things he needs to work on are probably things that, okay, sliders, from lefties, changeups from righties in the big leagues is probably where he's going to get that lesson. And it probably isn't going to be taught to him in AAA, so that doesn't hold him back from coming to the majors. He has power that could help the Royals right now. The real question just becomes, and I think a legitimate reason maybe to hold him back in AAA for a little while here, is if you're planning on him playing in the outfield, he doesn't have a whole lot of games out there. He's not going to be great at it even in the long term, probably, but you want him to be comfortable with it, and maybe a few more games in AAA will help with that.
Some of this is like Royals guys been around forever. Rusty Koontz is actually down in AAA, specifically working with him on the outfield. We take that as a sign of, okay, time for the crash course, kid. We're going to figure out a way to make this work. How quickly can you expedite that process with, like, you know, specialized training, we'll say, in the outfield?
Well, the thing that I watched, because I love watching Jack also, I've watched every play, every time he's touched the ball in the outfield this year, which is only like 36, 37 plays, right? And, okay, I should have probably sorted a little bit more, so I didn't watch every ground ball that got through the infield that he then scooped up and threw in. The thing that does stand out about this is, even for a guy who doesn't have a whole lot of experience out there, he doesn't look horrible, right? Like, he catches the ball a little weird, where he likes to kind of catch it almost like a wide receiver sometimes, where he's kind of catching it over his right shoulder, even on balls he doesn't seem like he needs to. But there's not anything that's happened so far where it's like glaring or, oh, he looks really lost out there. The worst play that I can kind of cite is a ball to the wall that really was the center fielder's play, but Jack kind of came too close. Rather than staying back a little bit, he came up to the wall. And so when the ball hit high off the wall, it rolled right past him for a triple that, if he'd have kind of hung back a little bit knowing it was the center fielder's play, maybe he could have kept that at a double. That's nitpicking, though. There isn't really something where you say, oh, this guy clearly has no clue what he's doing out there. His routes will get better. His reads will get better. But there also are just limitations to him. He's not particularly fast. And the interesting thing that we haven't seen so far, obviously he was a two-way pitcher, two-way player who also pitched in college. So far, you're not seeing a cannon of an arm out there in the outfield. He hasn't really had a whole lot of opportunities, but I don't see right now, like, he had some arm injuries last year at the end of the year when he was in Florida. I'm not seeing 95 plus like you saw coming off the mound with him. So maybe that'll be another thing to watch. But can he be a passable corner outfielder? Yeah, I think that that's very plausible. Now, I can't think of a tougher place to do that than in Kansas City, because obviously the outfield's bigger than almost anywhere, but especially when the Royals are on the road, can he be playable in a smaller right field? Oh yeah, it looks like that's not going to be beyond him in any way.
We're talking to J.J. Cooper of Baseball America. The question we get asked all the time, people will cite examples, recent examples of other teams' prospects that were just drafted a year ago, let's say, that are already up. Can you explain for our listeners, like, why each case is different for obvious reasons, but, you know, somebody saw that the kid from the Rangers just got called up after only a couple games in AAA, or people will look at a Nick Kurtz, for example, for the A's. What is the difference? Is it organizational philosophy? Is it just where the organization is at the big league level? What goes into that? Because I think some people just simply look at, hey, that guy got drafted last year too. He's already up in the big leagues. What are they waiting for?
I mean, I think you kind of have to look at each situation kind of a little bit uniquely, right? Like, some of these times where guys have been pushed really fast, they haven't. Nick Kurtz has not really had a great start to his big league career.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's going to be very good, but he's now on the IL. But, like, he's struggled a little bit. Cam Smith, to his credit, kind of, I would say, is holding his own for the Astros, who was another draftee from last year. But at the same time, Jack's not behind right now, right? Travis Pizzano went 1-1, and I know he's on the IL right now also, but he's not in the big leagues. Like, Charlie Condon, who was the other kind of big power hitter, SEC power hitter in the top 10 picks, he's in high A. Like, Jack's not behind right now. I know that the timetables have sped up, but Jack's on a pretty fast timetable right here. Like, I get it. Like, if I was a Royals fan and I'm looking at the outfield, and I haven't checked in 2 days, but last time I checked, I think Kyle Isbell had 3 home runs to lead all, maybe it's 4 to lead all Royals outfielders. I get it.
You know, yeah.
Where there's a clamoring of, like, Jack could do that in a week, right? You know, where it's like, he could provide more power in a week than we've gotten in the first 2 months in, you know, from any outfielder. I get that, but at the same time, this does seem like a logical plan, right? We're talking about a guy who's a two-way player in college who was sent to AA, which is a very aggressive but appropriate assignment. He dominated AA. They also wanted him to get comfortable, so they let him play more first base early And then as he got comfortable and showed he was having no problems adjusting to double A, they started to work him into the outfield more too. Now in triple A, he's going to be working more in the outfield. He's already made a promotion. And we're still sitting where, as we're talking about this, it's still May, right? Like at this time last year, Jack was getting ready to play his biggest games of his college career, you know, or some of the biggest, because it's Florida, so they've had a number of, but he was getting ready to go to Omaha, and he wasn't going to get to Omaha for a while still at this time last year. This is a speedy ascent, and this has him knocking on the door at a time where there are absolutely contemporaries of his from last year's draft who are not going to reach the majors this year.
Want to ask you about a couple of other players here in just a second, but since we've asked the general manager and a couple of other people, might as well ask you, who's your major league comp? Like when you see Jack Caglione, who does he remind you of at the big league level?
See, okay. You're really kind of looking, I always struggle with comps, right? Because my problem with comps is I can always see all the reasons that they're not comparable to that. But what you're looking for here is, you know, it's lefty with some of the biggest power in the game, right? Like, and this is where lefty-righty gets all difficult. If you said, I mean, a good scenario for him, and again, I know everyone's seen, you know, in lefty-righty, all this, but Giancarlo Stanton, in his prime, had the best pure raw power of anyone in the game. And there was some swing and miss, and he was not going to hit 300 for you, but he would draw some walks, and he could lead the majors in homers. That's kind of what Jack could be, right? Like, I know he's hitting 325, you know, 320 for his minor league career. I still don't talk to anyone who expects that that's what he's going to be long-term. If he hits 250, 260 and draws walks, he's going to be an excellent big leaguer. And he does have enough chase to his game, enough aggressiveness to his game, enough ability to still make contact a lot of times doing that. But it's more likely that he's going to be a power hitter with an okay average rather than this all-around, extremely well-rounded batting title and home run champ type guy.
Which
obviously doesn't happen very often.
No, no question. It's fun to get everybody's different perspective on the comps because everybody loves comps. The one that has come up here with even the general manager himself, J.J. Piccolo, was Pete Alonso. So now we've got a couple other names that have been thrown out.
Yeah, no, I mean, it makes a whole lot of sense in a lot of ways also, though, because they both played at Florida, too, right?
Yeah,
and the same high school.
The two best sluggers to come out of, you know, the Gators program. So there's 100% that makes a lot of sense.
When you look at the rest of the Royal system, we wanted to ask you quickly about Noah Cameron, who is still technically a prospect in the Royal system until, I don't know, however many games he's got to reach in order to do that. Did you see this kind of performance coming out of Noah Cameron? And I guess, like, how's it translating now in the big leagues? Normally we talk about big strikeout guys, which he hasn't been, but I mean, the results are definitely there.
We're working on an update on all of our top 30s for next week. He will be moving up. I will tell you that right now. No, I mean, we liked him. I thought he could start in the big leagues. No, this has been better than we expected. To his credit, to the Royals' credit, this is better than what we were expecting out of Noah Cameron. And, no, you'll ride it, right? Like, if he's 85% of this for his career, then he's going to be a really solid long-term big leaguer, right? He's been that good. And I would say, like, I mean, again, I would say there probably is going to be a little bit of regression. I don't want, but at the same time, he could not be at the level he's been. You know, his hitters adjust him a little bit more, and he's still going to be quite good. So this is a guy. The Royals over the last couple of years have really shown that they've shown some knack, some ability to help pitchers kind of maximize themselves as starters, right? Like, I mean, a lot of these examples have been free agents that they brought in, but I would say that to their credit and trade acquisitions, like Paul Reagan's got better as a Royal. You know, you could say that for a number of these kind of veteran free agents they brought in as well. To Noah Cameron, the Royal credit, that's also true of Noah Cameron. You know, this is a prospect who that's kind of true with too.
On the hitting side, how do people in the industry view the Royals in terms of hitting development? And obviously right now, the big league level, they're one of the worst offenses in baseball. But just when you look at how they've developed guys recently.
There have been less success stories to hang a hat on, I would say, on the hitting side. The big one coming up is you see what Blake Mitchell does, right? Jack obviously is the Jack looks to be the Royals' best hitting development success story in quite a while, right? But again, you got to get back. We liked Michael Garcia. We probably should have liked him more. Like that's a success story. That's one that absolutely the Royals could point to and say, hey, this is a solid big league regular that we've developed. Blake Mitchell, you know, has had some injury issues and all, but that's a guy who has a chance. It's a system's pretty deep in catchers right now. But at the same time, guys like Gavin Cross, you know, there have also been guys who've been relatively premium picks who haven't, kind of produced at the level that you're hoping for, you know, top 10, top 15 type picks. So I would say that it's been more success stories on the pitching side than on the hitting side. But at the same time, I want to see what Blake Mitchell's going to do if he can have, you know, get a full season where he's healthy and kind of gets a chance to match like he can and continue to develop behind the plate.
JJ Cooper, editor-in-chief over at Baseball America, at Baseball America on Twitter and X. Really appreciate the time and the insight.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Good stuff there from JJ Cooper. We got another comp.
So far we have Giancarlo Stanton, Shohei Ohtani, and Pete Alonso. My God.
Reminder.
If he ends up being any of those three guys, I'll be thrilled.
I made sure to transition when because yeah. Your guys' face were evident. I transitioned quickly so you guys and your smiles could be shown. Look,
comps are comps. They're not guarantees and all that. We all know that.
Sure,
they're fun, though. They're a lot of fun, and everybody's been in the same wheelhouse, though, in terms of, like, oh, if that's anywhere what he's going to be, it's going to be great.
Who's the person you remember hitting
Stanton,
the ball the furthest?
And Stanton, he won an MVP, just saying. He won an MVP once in his career, in his prime when he was, like, 27, 28.
He also has 450, probably, without even looking, I'm guessing he's got, like, between 400 and 450 career home runs.
Yeah. Prime Giancarlo Stanton sounds nice. You know?
I think
I'll take any of the three comps.
Yeah,
you know, if he turns into any of those players, honestly, I'll take 80% probably of any of those comps if that's what his career ends up being.
Like, No doubt. Now, at the end, though, we were asking just about the development side. It goes back to when we were discussing Noah Cameron. Just pitching-wise, yeah, people are clearly noticing what they've been able to do developing pitchers, specifically even free agent pitchers, and getting the most out of them, but also the acknowledgement on the hitting side. Like, there's a couple success stories there.
Yeah,
he says the one to really follow is Blake Mitchell. He said, like, obviously, Cags is the guy that's coming up, but Blake Mitchell over the next couple of years is the one to fall. Like, the development of him will tell us a lot about where they're at as an organization in terms of continuing.
And we know that because again, for catcher, if you actually get a catcher up in the big leagues who can hit, you're having a very different conversation.
Advantage.
As a reminder, Blake Mitchell was hurt for the early portion of this season. He's been playing in rookie ball the last couple of days before presumably he'll go back to AA or whatever once he's done there. And in rookie ball, he's having no problems. He was hurt to start the year. He's played four games over there. He's hitting like 400 or whatever nonsense, but we'll see. Last year, an entire year of A-ball, he played 111 games between high and low A and hit .232 only, but a .368 on base percentage and real power, 18 homers.
I'll be interested to see when Baseball America comes out. It sounds like from J.J. Cooper there, they're updated top 30. How high does Noah Cameron move up?
He's already at five on MLB Pipeline. So
five in the Royals organization.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just curious, where does he go in the overalls? But yes, yeah. And then, of course, Jack Caglione on MLB Pipeline was 10th in baseball, first in the Royals organization. So seeing these updated lists here in the next week or two will be really interesting to see how much higher does Cags go, and how much higher does Noah Cameron go in the overall list.
It's kind of hard not to think Noah Cameron deserves to be one of the top three prospects for the Royals right now. Again, like, and some of them are like
Mitchell's two, right?
Like,
I think.
And look, I get it. There's no point in this show spending 20 minutes talking about David Shields, an 18-year-old who is in.
He may not be up till 2029 or something.
But
you know what I mean? Like,
honestly, but why can't, like, I just want him to be like David Price. Like, why can't he be the 20-year-old who gets up to the big leagues because he just. There's nothing holding
him back.
You have
to be another David, and you have to comp him to another David. Is that what you just did there? Did you have to comp him to another David?
He was just one of the pitchers I remembered getting to the big leagues like really fast and super young. You know, like Yordano Ventura, like he like 18 years old. If you're getting to that level, we're just having a slightly different conversation.
Random question.
For those asking, by the way, Shields has made three starts with a .69 ERA and his bump up to A-ball from rookie ball.
Good.
Not bad. For you, Gold, for you, Drew, on the text line, 913-586-7965. Of course, you can hit us up on the YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook stream as well. Live stream the show. Subscribe over on YouTube or Twitch. Pop to the top of your feed. That way you know when we are going live, which is, again, every day 10 to 2. and the other two shows as well, 6 to 10 and 2 to 6. Question every day is about summer. It's the last day of school for my kids
today. Finally.
I know, man. The honestly, they didn't get like these snow days forgiven, and I kind of thought the teachers should. Point is, my kids had a half day today. They are officially done for summer until they start summer school. So that's the question I actually have for you today. I want to know how you would handle your kids' summer compared to how yours used to be handled. 913-586-7965. So how was your summer handled as a kid? And how would you do it different or the same as your summers? Mine were pretty simple. My parents bought one kid a Worlds of Fun pass, and we would rub stamps and just go, you know, like parentless there. Or we lived at the Grace Moore pool. That was my summer.
Parentless at a theme
parentless,
park?
Parentless.
Just got dropped off at Worlds of Fun.
Oh, yeah. Parentless at a like theme a park or parentless at a pool. That was my entire summer. Probably not going to handle it that way with my kids. Admittedly, times have changed. Now it's the 90s. Yeah. You know, things are different.
Agreed.
But also, like, I'll just be straight up. The amount it costs to send these, I'm not sending them to 8 camps either. We got to draw a line somewhere. Some of them are nuts. So my kids go to summer school. It's optional. It's mostly just for fun. But my kids will go to like regular at their school summer school, or like the SAGE program's got their own summer school. My kids will just go to that. That's part of my plan. And then like a couple of camps, you know?
Yeah, for me, it was, I did a couple camps in the summer, not out of town camps or anything, but in town type of sports camps and stuff like that. Actually at the J, believe it or not. And that's where I went. I went to the pool there. My grandparents were members there, so I would end up going there and go to the pool a lot of times when they would go. That was most of my summers is when I was little, at least.
What kind of camps did you do?
They do sports camps. They do over a bunch of, it's just summer long. They do a bunch of different camps.
You know,
a
there's
lot
like
of sports
dance,
related.
Like my kid was interested in the school of rock.
It's usually
rock
not
one.
Just, not just like basketball or whatever. Yeah. Like it's just a variety of things. Or they're just camps and you do a bunch, like you do everything across the whole time, the whole summer.
Desmond's got like a soccer camp that's a week. And Ruby's got a camp where she will do acting stuff like at the Coterie. You got to lean into your kids, you know, interests too. They're like $250 a pop for a week.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes more, Drew.
Yeah.
Per one. I can't afford three months of camps. That's crazy.
Wasn't it just last year? Like, and again, you're right. Times have changed on this, but like there was the whole story because people were using Worlds of Fun as daycare for their kids. And they're just dropping their kids off. And it was causing all kinds of problems at Worlds of Fun.
I was an OG.
That was you back in the 90s. That was you.
OG in that department. Come on, dude. That was 20 years later. I can't possibly.
You
got to
be over 15 or whatever it is, or over 17 now or something.
Dude, when I was a kid, they would buy one pass, and then we just rub stamps. Or I used to use my friend.
That was before the digital tickets.
Oh, dude, they didn't ever check it. Like for the longest time, like when I got older and we wanted to go in the middle of the summer, I used my friend Billy Warden's. We did not look alike, but he just handed through the gate, and I'd walk up there, and they just let me in. I mean,
they said, what's this kid getting?
We did not look alike. So like, I just
the same person. The meme of them doing the security of the guy, the old guy. Just going ahead.
Somebody
He's
said
not even sifting you down.
Just bike around town. We did a lot of that till the streetlights came on. A lot of swimming too. Great times. Yep. Drew, what was yours? Did you do camps?
I did plenty of camps.
Played baseball. Played a lot of baseball.
Once high school came up, it was a lot of cross country season started 2 weeks after school ended. Like our season started in the summertime. And also golf bled into the summertime as well, because state golf is like late June. So sports blended into the summertime. But a lot of it growing up was go outside, play basketball, play pickup football, bike around, just do whatever all day long, essentially, was the way that it was. Have some sleepovers, you know, every now and then. But camp's definitely a part of
we didn't do any of that.
As well.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I don't know, like how many of these camps...
One camp or two. I think it was one. We had to pick.
Was it an overnight one, like a cabin one? Are those even real? Those feel like something that exists in a TV show. But I don't know anybody who actually went to like an overnight camp for a week. I don't know a single person in my entire life.
I don't know anybody either. But people clearly did. Yeah, people clearly. Those are obviously very, very expensive.
We always would have like a week-long summer vacation too, where my dad would take time off and we'd go. We drove everywhere, of course. So.
Yeah, we spent 2 weeks at the cabin every year.
We would drive, take a week, or maybe even 2 weeks sometimes. We'd go to a bunch of different places.
Is this where the Outer Banks family beach spot got reserved that now 25 years later?
Technically, that one's been around for a very long time. The one I'm talking about is just June or something like that during the summertime, where we'd take a week and a half and we'd drive all the way out to L.A. and stop at a bunch of places and then circle up to Northern California and go across through Colorado, Wyoming, the Dakotas.
Long road trips in the Nixon family.
There'd be days where we hated it because it'd be a 9-10 hour drive, and it's not even fun.
It's not even vacation at that point.
Agreed.
Oh, dude, I'm in a car. This sucks.
10-year-old me.
That was before tablets and
yeah, dude.
You actually had to talk to people on the drive.
My parents drove overnight. Every time we go to Colorado for 2 weeks in the middle of summer, we would drive overnight. My dad, we'd leave. He would sleep all during the day, and we'd leave at like midnight. So that we could try to just sleep in the car on the whole way out there. Then we'd wake up and we'd be in Colorado. It was great.
I don't know if you had these, Cody. We had these, it was like a game that you could play like I Spy basically, but on the road.
Oh, of course.
And you tried to play and you tried to get like a row of six in a row of things that you saw, whether it's like a cow or a billboard. Oh, sure.
License plate game. Oh, yeah. There's all that. I mean,
that was how
we kept ourselves. I read.
Yeah, that was what we did. Yeah. Until we got the big upgrade was a van with a DVD player. That was big because I think my parents very much so liked that because we could at least relax a little bit and not kill each other on the 9 hour day drives, which sucked. Yes, as a 10-year-old, it was terrible.
A couple of people are claiming that they're familiar, but they're saying those are also like thousands of dollars. So maybe that was it. Maybe the old Tapp family could not afford $1,000 to send one of us to a multi-day, week-long camp.
We never went to multi-day camps. Everything was.
Like the two camps my kids will go to, they'll go for a few hours in the middle of the day and then they'll come home.
The big camp for me during, at least for me in particular during high school, was we'd have cross country camp where we'd go to essentially a park, like a state park, and we'd hang out we'd sleep in tents. We'd have cross country camp. We'd do three workouts a day.
That sounds play miserable, games. By the way.
Camp is like, we always had a cornhole tournament. It was lit.
The cross country camp sounds miserable to me.
I mean, just that sentence is pretty horrifying. Yeah. I don't want to go sleep to camp in the tent to run.
And then wake up the next morning and go run 10 miles.
Yeah,
Your back just feels like it's on fire because you've just been laying on rocks all night.
Your back wasn't on fire when you were 12, though. You know, now, yes. Correct. When you were 12, your back wasn't on fire.
Now
it'd
be impossible.
Yeah. All right, up next, 1 o'clock hour, we'll get you a little update on where things stand on the Royals front. They released a new statement yesterday in regards to the stadium conversation. Plus, we're bringing back the snitch line. It's been a bit. You can start sending those in. We'll remind you what the snitch line is. That's coming up next here on Cody and Gold.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.